Thank you for that song. That was a great song from two great young people that love the Lord and grew up here in our church. I love to see our young people now that they're adults, they're serving the Lord. Some of them are married, and then some of them have children in the teen department. Been the youth pastor here for quite some time, so have the privilege of seeing some of the teenagers, their kids in the teen department. I do want to encourage you to take part in the offering for our pastor. And some of you, this is the only church you know, but we have a great pastor that loves you. And on our anniversary Sunday, we wanted to be a blessing to him and give a little bit back to him and have something special for him. So if you could participate with that at the end of the service via simple give or a cash offering, that will be great, and we'll present that to him. Some people think a pastor all that they do is just prepare messages, and that is far from the truth. Yes, he prepares messages, and let me say this, a message is not just boom and then it's done. It takes a lifelong time of when he was in ministry before that, but he sits in his office, he prays, he seeks God to say, God, what do you want our people to know? What direction do you want me to go in this area? He doesn't just flip a coin and say, hey, I'm going to preach this. He has you and your family in mind. And he has a big responsibility because he is the shepherd of this church. He is the overseer. He has a big responsibility because he will answer to God on your account for what he does with his life and how he presents God to you. So do pray for him. And he has gone out and with his family up in Washington there, and they're going to drive back. Don't tell him, but this is probably recorded, but he doesn't, probably not going to listen this far, but he never flies anywhere because I think he's scared of flying. But I did tell you that, but no, he does love out to go out to visit his family in Washington, in the state of Washington, in that area. Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bibles, and then, of course, Ephesians chapter 6. Brother Dan just read that part of Scripture, and then Romans chapter 8, please. We're going to go through a lot of Scripture here, and I want you to follow along. You can write it down. You probably are not going to, we're probably not going to turn to everything, but I'll give you the references. I am glad to be back at church. I've been gone for 2 weeks. I love traveling with my family. I love going to different churches, but there's nothing like being at our home church. And being with our people and being with my Sunday school class and seeing you and your faithfulness to the Lord. I've met some great people while we're on at Washington, D.C. We're in that area, and we went to two amazing churches, but I wouldn't trade those churches for our church any day. I love our church, and our church is comprised of great people. Thank you for being great people. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, Lord, you bless these next 30 or so minutes we have together. Father, help us, Lord, to be engulfed in your word and help us to understand things from your word and help us to be different. Lord, help us not waste our time here and just come and have it become a ritual to be in church, though it's a good exercise and a good habit to be in church, Lord. But, Lord, we've come to hear from you, and help us to hear from you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's no doubt that there's a lot of adversity going on in our culture today. Sometimes, literally, it feels like every day you hear from the news, and if you watch the news, you're not careful, you hear different things, and it feels like the world's falling apart, from attempted assassinations to different shootings, both locally here and nationally, and yes, even worldwide, political unrest, and we have an election coming along, and I pray for a church that you take part in that and you be responsible as a citizen. And as you go vote, you say, man, why are you talking about politics? I'm not talking about politics. I'm talking about us being a citizen of the United States to vote for the right people. And vote for somebody that holds our values as Christians. You say, man, these people have different, problems. Yes, because we're sinners. We're sinners. We all, if people look into your life and my life, they'll find different skeletons also. But make sure you pray. And I'm careful when I say this, vote your conscience, because our conscience has been seared. Let me say this, vote biblically. Vote what the Bible says and not what culture says and not what feels good. But this political unrest, international conflict in the Middle East and all over around the world. And you see the signs of the times. So what are you talking about? Jesus is coming soon. We're living in the last days. The Bible says in the last days, perilous times shall come. Dangerous times will come. The Bible says men should be lovers of themselves and the list goes on. But I believe without a doubt in my heart that we're living in the last days and Christ is coming back soon. Amen. I don't know if Christ is going to come in my lifetime or your lifetime, but I know he's coming back. And we got to live every day like he's coming back so we can honor him. We can bring more people to the Lord. And that's why we have a building program. That's why we have soul winning programs. That's why we have youth conferences, because Christ is coming back. And once he comes back, let me say this, people. Once to die, then the judgment. There's no second chance. We've got to reach them while we can. It seems like these stories of going around our world is bombarding our lives on a regular basis. You can't, my phone, I have notification in my watch, and down the wire comes different things that are happening. And sometimes as Christians, we can be overwhelmed by the circumstances, not only of what's going on in our life, but really personal circumstances, personal stress, personal family matters. And we have everybody in here that sometimes throughout the week, we're exhausted. And we're famished spiritually. We go through the week saying, man, and we fight, and we struggle, and we go to work. But let me say this, we can either run and hide and concede in defeat, or we can live in victory that's found in Christ Jesus. There's a difference between choosing to live in victory and actually living the victorious Christian life. God wants you to live the victorious life. God wants you to have that blessed Christian life. Let me say this, Christians, we shouldn't live in defeat. Some of us, we walk around, we mope. I know we have problems, and I know we have troubles, and I know we have heartaches. That's part of living in this sinful life. But let me say this. We read the end of the book, the Bible, and we win. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. You say, man, I'm sick, and I'm heavy-hearted. And let me say this. At the end, the Bible says we're going to face God. And he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Heaven's going to be a great place. Yes, sir. If we are to live in victory, we must, as Christians, purposely apply in our life God's principles found in God's word for us to ensure victory. So many people live and they say, man, I want to serve God and I want to do these things in my own power and in my own way. And the recipe is right here. Growing up, our family, we didn't have a recipe book. I would ask my mom's sitting right there, ask grandma, how do you make this? Well, you do this, and you put some of this, and you put some of that, and you take this, and you chop. No, a cup of this, a teaspoon of that, half a cup, a pint. And none of that. Just put it. And we don't have to have that guesswork. We have the roadmap right here, the word of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors to him that love us. How do we live in victory? If we were to live in victory, church, we need to claim the promises in the word of God. What is the strategy? How can we overcome? In Ephesians, the word of God we just read tells us how to overcome. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In verse 10, and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles or the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Some of us fight each other. It's not about each other. The Bible says there's a different realm. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you can withstand. so you can stand. Satan attacks us in different ways. He wants us to keep us from God's strength, our honesty. He attacks our honesty. He attacks our hearts. He attacks our righteous living. He fills us with anxiety and hurt and doubt. Some of us live through life and we doubt God's word and we're unsure. Let me say this. Get back to God's word and trust the everlasting word of God. We're confused. We're tempted by sin. And let me say this. Satan attacks us and he doesn't want us to pray. He hates us when he prays. Satan is after us. The Bible says a thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. He wants to mess up and wreck your life. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you're to be an overcomer, if you have to want to live in victory, you're going to have to live in Christ's victory. And you have to prepare. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thank be to God which giveth us victory.
Amen.
Through our Lord Christ Jesus.
Yep.
Our victory is not in ourselves. Our victory is in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thank be God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest that our Savior is knowledge by us in every place. It's God's desire that you and I live the victorious Christian life. Today we want to speak about overcoming and having overcoming our weakness and having God's strength, having the power of God in our life and claiming what God has already done for us. Yeah. Finding strength is echoed throughout the Bible. As we look at the Old Testament in Joshua, from Joshua to Moses, his successor, Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, be strong and of good courage, for unto thy people shalt thou divide for inheritance of the land. We go on and God promises and God commands us, be strong. David to Solomon in 1 Corinthians chapter 28 and verse 20. David said unto Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage. Paul to his son Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. There are more than 30 times in the word of God that God commands someone to be strong. You say, why does he command us to be strong? Because sometimes we get discouraged as human beings. He wants us to have his strength, but it's not strength to fight, people.
Amen.
Some of us, I just need to fight. Yeah, there's some times we got to fight, but we need to stand. Strength is the power to overcome something or someone physically. Fighting takes physical strength. Standing is different. Standing takes resolve. It takes belief in something greater than us. Standing says, hey, I will not move. I like the song. I shall not be moved.
Amen.
We're not called to fight. We're called to stand. Four times in Ephesians chapter 6, God commands us to stand and stay up there like a cedar. Why are we challenged to stand and not to fight? You say, why? Christ has already won the victory. He's already won the fight. He rose from the dead. He's defeated Satan. He's defeated sin. He's already won. We just need to stand and claim his promises.
Yeah.
We're called to be strong and to stand in the victory that Christ has already given us. God wants us to face our future with confidence and with resolve, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. God wants us to live in victory, not because of our own accomplishment, but because of his accomplishment. God wants us to stand in the resurrected power of Christ because we're overcomers. What does it mean to become overcomers? What does it mean to stand? What does it mean to exchange our weakness for God's strength? Church, if we're to overcome our weaknesses, we must start, number one, by standing strong. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye fast in the faith. The Bible says, quit ye like men, be strong. The Bible is firm, and we've got to be strong. By the way, let me say this. You say, man, Christians are supposed to be pacifists. No, the Bible tells us to be strong.
Amen.
The Bible says, oh, we just need to be like a worm and somebody. No. You know what? The Bible, you've got to take the Bible in context. We've got to stand up. We've got to rise up.
Yep.
We can't let people just trample all over the truths of God's word. God wants us to stand fast in the faith. By the way, church, mom, dad, student, teenager, single mom, what are you leaning on today? Can I ask you a question? Are you leaning on your own strength? Or are you standing on the Lord's strength? So many of us, we go through life and we're carrying. There's a story of an old Western guy. He's going through, he sees a guy with a burden on his shoulder and he's holding that bag. He says, man, it's awfully hot here. Why don't you get on my wagon? And why don't you ride with me? The guy with the burden on his back gets on the man's wagon and rides with the man. The man's still perplexed and confused and says, sir, why don't you take your burden off your back and set it up? He says, oh, you've already given me a ride. I can't ask you to hold my burden also. And we go through life carrying our own burden when Christ says, hey, let me hold it for you. Let me help you. You say, why? Because we don't trust what God has done for us. Your dependence on the Lord needs to start very early. You need to face it head on. Look, every day you're faced with different adversity. And I say this not in joke, but sometimes in marriage, you face your wife. Sometimes you face your children. You face it in traffic. Early on, you wake up, you get in your car and trying to rush to work, and somebody's, you know, cutting you off. Look, I drove in New York City this past week. Don't put on a signal. When you put on a signal, that means I'm going to go faster, and I'm going to pin you down. So I got in. I'm thinking, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what these people do. No signal. No, hey, please. I'm just going to cut you off. And I'm driving a 15-passenger van. Going, gotcha. Got it. Now what? Yeah, they didn't get mad. People cut me off left and right. I'm thinking, that's the culture here. Let's go ahead and do it. Let's get by. But you know what? If I go through that every day, I'm a road rage.
Yeah, come on.
Say, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to have road rage. I know, but I think it if, you know. But in traffic, we face at work. We face it at work with people we know, and then we face it with complete strangers that we interact with. We need to depend on God. Are we walking? Are we going to walk and respond to the Lord how he wants? Or will we lash out in the flesh? Look, sometimes I want to lash out at people, but sometimes we just got to hold our tongue. When we are attacked, what does it expose of us? The other day I didn't have my card, my Costco card. Now you have to do that little scan thing. And I'm standing right there looking for it, and some guy comes to me and says, get out of the way. I'm thinking, oh my, so, I'm sorry. So what are you standing there for? Now, inside my heart, I'm going, man, I'll show you something. I look back, he's bigger than me. I show you nothing. But he's right there. I'm thinking, why are people so rude? Just excuse me. But in the flesh, we're going to lash out. But is that what the Lord wants us to do? What will our response be when somebody does us wrong? Are you going to fight? Satan's stronger. Are you going to run? Satan's faster. Are you just going to endure? Satan's patient. So what do? Just stand. You need to apply God's word and defend the ground that God has already given to you by standing. Fight by standing on the victory that is yours through Jesus Christ. That's what our enemy does. That's what our enemy doesn't have. So we must stand strong in the victory that Christ has already given us. Ephesians chapter 6, at the end part of it, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the tricks of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil today. And having done all, What's that next punctuation there? The next punctuation there is a comma. It says, you've done all that you can. You've exhausted your power. You've done all that you can. Just keep standing. When we read that verse, sometimes we read it as one continuous thing, and we forget the comma there that's paused. It says, after doing everything that we can do, just keep standing.
Yep.
Don't quit.
Yep.
Keep standing. How do we overcome our weaknesses? We overcome it with God's strength. How do we get God's strength? Get God's strength by standing. Number two, we find the source of our strength that you need. How to find the source of, you stand. We need the strength of God. We need the strength that can only be provided by God. Psalm chapter 68. Oh God, thou art terrible out of thy holy place. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Isaiah 26:4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Boy, what power. He's everlasting strength. You say, what's everlasting? That means your battery's never going to run out.
Amen.
It keeps coming and it keeps coming and it keeps coming.
Amen. Amen.
God is everlasting strength. It's not enough just to believe God. The devil believes the Lord. The devil believes in God. James chapter 2:19 says this. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Amen.
It's not enough to just believe in God. We must receive his strength by claiming it. Look, I can have something available for each and every one of you. Okay? Let's say, for instance, over here, let's see, somebody help me out. Brother Wall, can you help me out over here? Brother Wall is a big guy. Don't want to meet him in the dark alley. Look, Brother Wall, he loves ribs, right? You love ribs?
Right.
Let's say this is a rack of ribs right here. Okay? Smoked for many, many hours, juicy, bone falling off. It looks like a nice rib.
Looks like a nice rib.
He's hungry. If I give this to Brother Raw, it is not his until he accepts it. Is that right?
Yep.
I say, take it, and if he refuses it, he said, man, that's a nice rib. Smells good. Look at that bark on it around there. Look at it, just juicy. And you press on it, the juices come out. Put some barbecue sauce, maybe some sea salt or something like that. And I can have it ready for him. But he has to receive it in order for it to be his. Thank you, Brother. You know what? God's strength is yours. God's strength is there. Will you receive it? Isaiah chapter 40, hath thou not known? Hath thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching for his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. God wants to give you that power. All you have to do is claim it. To them that have no might, he increases strength. The only time that we are incapable of receiving the strength of God, listen to me, the only time that we're incapable of receiving God's strength is when we trust our own strength. Isaiah chapter 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let's claim it. Church, let's say, hey, God, I want your strength, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to claim it. That's why Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Amen.
Where do you get God's strength from? Number one here, we get strength by downloading God's strength from his word. R.A. Torrey gave an illustration. He said a person approached the great preacher and told him that he got nothing from studying the word of God. He's like, preacher, I've been studying the word of God and nothing. The preacher said, well, read it. The man says, I do read it. Well, read it some more. He says, I do read it. He says, take one book and read it 12 times a day for a month, the preacher says. He suggested to the frustrated Christian 2 Peter because it only has 3 chapters. Later, that man said to his wife, said that he and his wife read 2 Peter three times in the morning, three times at lunchtime, and three times for dinner. Soon he was overwhelmed, and all he does is talk about 2 Peter to everyone he meets. Everything in his life was 2 Peter. The pages on his Bible were filled with notes, highlighters, and tears from this youth and how God spoke to him. He said to his wife, the man that is studying God's word now, "See how I've ruined this part of my Bible?" His wife replied to him, "While your Bible has gotten darker, your life has become brighter." Somebody once said this, if the Bible is falling apart, if your Bible is falling apart, it usually means that you're not. We need to download God's strength from his word. Psalm chapter 119, verse 28. "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." May we live in the supernatural strength, church, and be overcome and be an overcomer and be a successful Christian because we are downloading the strength from God's word. Look, it doesn't just take downloading. It takes you to open up the program. I'm not a computer whiz. Brother Vong up there, he's visiting us from Cambodia. He knows a little bit about computers. I've downloaded many programs. But that for that program to be used in your computer, you have to open the application and put it on your computer. Some of us, we have the Word of God. But we are not opening up the application and putting it in our hard drive and in our heart. Everything that we need in life is here in the Word of God. We need to get it into our hearts. The Bible says in Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." 2 Peter 1, "According to his divine power that has given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue." I need the strength of God. And that strength, church, comes from the Word of God. That is why we need to read it daily. That's why we need to meditate on it. That's why we need to memorize it. That's why we need to go out and share God's word. "Thy law, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes." The word of God is important. The word of God will change your life. There's a communist man. A Christian that lived in a communist country. At that time, the communists were very, very bad to Christians. He threw this Christian man in jail. In that jail cell, he would sing God's word. He would sing and he would quote God's word. And they try to tell him, "Hey, don't do this and don't do that," and try to punish him, but still was faithful to God. The communist soldiers were cruel people, and they said, "You know what? If you can't beat them, join them." The communist soldiers said, they took a Bible and they had a mock Lord's Supper. And they read those verses. It says he's in there. The jail at that time, it's not like jail we have here, was extracurricular stuff and, you know, getting different degrees, weightlifting, watching TVs, having internet and stuff like that. It wasn't like that. The story is kind of vile, but the communist soldiers, prison guards, had a mock Lord's Supper and took, there's no restroom, so whatever feces he had and bodily liquids he had, they put it in a container and they took it out, but they saved it for him. Hell can't be hotter for these people. They had that mock Lord's Supper and says, "Take, eat, this is my body." And they took the man's own dung and forced it into his mouth and just made very, very an animal out of that man. And they took his bodily liquids and say, "Drink, this is my blood," just mocking him. Threw him on the ground and just left him there. Yeah, he's going to deny Christ now. As the soldiers left, they heard singing again. Amen. And here's a man that just got violated with just horror. He started singing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust thee, how I prove thee o'er and o'er." You know what? He kept on trusting God. You say, why? Because he hid God's word in his heart. He hid God's word in his heart. Next, we download God's word by worship. When our heart's overwhelmed, when it is sad, when we have a lot of burdens, it's incredible what happens when we turn our worship to the Lord. Psalm chapter 21 and verse 13, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength, so will I sing and praise thy power." Psalm chapter 59, verse 17, "Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy." We need to worship God and continue staying faithful to God during the hard times. When it seems like we can't stand, we got to keep standing. I must hasten. Lastly, we download God's strength by waiting on God. Not all of us like to wait. That's why they have fast food. That's why they have microwave food. Hungry man. Being patient is a virtue, but most of us can't wait. Somebody once said this to God, "God, give me patience, and I need it now." Psalm chapter 27, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." Isaiah chapter 40, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." The sense of waiting is to accept the unfolding plan of God in your life and saying, "God, I would just be like this Polaroid picture that is in my life. I'm just going to wait to see the results." Some of us, we look right here at the storm. Why, God can see the beginning and the end. So how do we wait on the Lord? Just slow down. Make time for him. Slow down. Some of us are in such a rush. Being quiet means cease from activity. Slow down. Get quiet. And after the earthquake in 1 Kings chapter 19, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. God comes and he's there waiting for you. Somebody said this, "Solitude and silence give us some space to reform our innermost attitude towards people and events. They take the world off our shoulders from a time and interrupt our habits constantly managing them, of being in control, of thinking we're in control. But when we just come back and just say, hey, I need to just rest. I need to get disconnect and depend on God. How do we wait on the Lord? Slow down. We need to get to a quiet place in our life. We need to pray. Prayer is the river of God's grace to flow in our lives. Take 10 minutes a day. Take some time to pray and ask God and seek God. David prayed in Psalm chapter 6, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed." Psalm chapter 22, 19, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. Hast thee to help me." Lastly, it was said lastly already, lastly, we download God's strength through weakness. When we have weakness, that's when God's strength comes in. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to read one verse now, and I'm going to wrap this up, please. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Paul understood that the weakness was only uplifting. His weakness was only uplifting God's strength. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon said this: God does not need our strength. He has more than enough power of his own. He asks for our weakness because he has none of that for himself. And he's longing, therefore, to take your weakness and use it as an instrument in his own mighty hand. He will not yield your weakness to him. Will you yield not your weakness to him and receive his strength? The only thing that you can offer God right now that he does not have, church, is your weakness. And when we offer God our weakness and say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. I want to claim your victory. That's when God gives you strength. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lions. He said he stood there. His strength came from God. An overcomer will exchange their weakness for the Lord's strength. Sometimes it's hard to see God in different things. But during the weaknesses in our life, that's when God wants to make us strong. You say, why? Because he wants to show you that it's not you that did it, but it's him that did it. That it's his power. All we have to do is trust in him and claim his weakness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, thank you that we could trust in your strength and not depend on our own strength, Lord, because our strength is nothing. When we do things ourselves and we trust ourselves and we don't depend upon you, Lord, we fail. But we thank you for your everlasting strength. Help us to depend upon you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Everybody standing together. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Everybody standing together, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Everybody standing together. Maybe today you're trusting in your strength. Maybe you need to download the Word of God into your life in that application. Yeah, you have the Word of God, but let's trust in it. I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but if God's tugging at your heart, why don't you come do business with him? I invite you to this altar. Why don't you come and make a decision for him? Maybe today, if you die today, you're not sure that you're going to go to heaven. Maybe you don't have any strength because you don't know who Jesus Christ is. The Bible says, once to die, then the judgment. We're going to face God. Heaven and hell is real. There's only two places we can go. God wants you to have a life in heaven. But the Bible says we're all sinners. The price for that sin is death and hell. Jesus Christ died on that cross for our sins. And just like that illustration I gave about Brother Rawl, though we know Christ, we know who he is. He doesn't become yours until you've accepted him. Maybe today in this room, you don't know who Christ is. Yes, you know the name. Yes, you've heard about him. Yes, you come to church. But you have not received him as your Savior. Is there anybody like that today? Say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure if I die that I'll go to heaven. I don't know Christ as my Savior. And I like to know how to go to heaven when I die. Is there anybody like that? Just put your hand up. Put your hand up. Is anybody like that? Okay. All right. See that hand up there in the balcony? Anybody else? There you go. Yes, ma'am. See that hand over here? There's another man over here. Brother Jim, if you could help me out. There's a man over here. Please, some of the staff guys, please help out. There's a young lady over here. I'm not sure today if I die, I'll go to heaven. Is there anybody else? See a young man over here? Young lady over here. Father, thank you for your word, Lord. We pray, Father, that you just give us, Lord, your strength. Be with our church and be with us tonight as we come back. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.